Well, I'm again not going to keep you just real long. I want to just minister a message. And as I was praying, you know, again, even to how to minister a New Year or a Eve service, Christmas Eve, I began to just seek the Lord. And you know, there's so many traditional ways that I've seen New Year, you know, the Christmas Eve services. And I could probably talk about the Christmas story that we read on, you know, and it wasn't what week or two ago during our Christmas concert. And as I was beginning to study this out, I was reminded of the three wise men. And I thought, oh, how neat it would be to talk about being wise. How many of you know we need that in today's world? Just have some wisdom. You know, James talks about that. He says, if you lack it, ask God for it, for wisdom, and he'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not, right? So there's something about, you know, being wise. Now, where we get that, and if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible begins to talk about, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I kind of studied out these wise men, and they were scientists. They were astrologists. I mean, really, I think it's very interesting how they're looking to the stars and see this big, bright star that's shining down, and that directs them to the one that we're celebrating tomorrow, Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. One thing that I'm not is very seldom have I ever, if I've ever had anybody fall asleep in some of my church services. So if you fall asleep during this one, something's wrong with you. Your wood's wet, and we're going to get it dried off a little bit and fired back up. Because listen to me, I'm a little evangelist that pastors this church, and I'm here to tell you I am excited that Jesus gave me an abundant life where I don't have to die and go to hell. Come on, someone say amen to that. So there's some excitement, kind of like when these guys saw this star that caused them to go and search out this one little baby in swaddling clothes, wrapped, and he is lying in a manger. Why would they go to all that trouble to find this one? Well, again, they were wise, right? And there's something about being wise. And so I begin to just think about a few things, and I started jotting down some things. Can you see them? Huh? This is what we call a rabbit trail. This I'm not even going to charge you for any of this right here. And so I'm a character, and I was going to college in Big Spring, and to this day, I don't know why I did this, but I did it. I don't know if any of you have seen that show, Maxwell Smart. Who has? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you all have gray hair too. He was the guy, if you guys, all the rest of you younger folk, just Google it. He's the one that would talk into his shoe as a phone. And people are like, that's right. Well, I saw him do something, and so I decided to go to the mall in Big Spring, and I walked into a JCPenney's. And by the way, this has nothing to do with my message. It was just the funniest thing, because but when I showed it to you, it reminded me, and I walked in there, and I had shorts on and a T-shirt, and I pulled out my wallet. Remember this, Mom? And I walked into there, and I said, the first lady I saw that was working there, I said, "Ma'am, my name is FBI Agent Johnson." And that's all I did. And she goes, and I had my roommate with me, and I said, and this is what Maxwell Smart said. So I said, "And this is my partner, FBI Agent Johnson." I said, "Ma'am, I hear you've had some shoplifting going on in this store." I mean, it all worked out beautifully. She said, "You know, I heard about that the other night." I said, "Well, ma'am, that's why I'm here. My name is FBI Agent Johnson. And this is my partner, FBI Agent Johnson." We were both named the same thing. And that's all I kept doing. And so I said, "I know I'm dressed casually. I just flew in. But we're going to get to the bottom of this. And so I'm going to go put a suit and tie on, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to discuss this, probably have you and maybe the managerial team, and let's meet, and let's talk about what's going to happen because of the people that are shoplifting these great clothes here." And as I was leaving, I said, "Ma'am, remember, I'm FBI Agent Johnson." To this day, I don't know if she still thinks, "Where did that guy go? He's never come back," you know. Anyway, that there is a message right here. I want you to know something about these wise men, because they were not wise in and of themselves, you see. Because I believe it was God that caused them to be wise. For you and I, the lesson possibly might be this night is that you are not wise because of your own intellect. No, really, you're wise because the Creator created you in His image and in His likeness. Say amen to that. Because if you really understand that, it's going to cause wisdom to come to you more than any other time. Because you'll do some of the things that Jesus did Himself, like humbling Himself. I heard so much growing up that, you know, "You better watch out, son. God will humble you." Matter of fact, there was a time when I was in the lawn and landscape business. I was in my lower 20s, and Steve got his license in the irrigation, and I don't know where Tim was. Was you with us helping me mow, probably? And we did whatever we could to survive. And I'll never forget that I hired this guy, and he worked and was a very hard worker. Came from, you know, recommended from a friend, and I needed to go somewhere. Matter of fact, I went, I think we was going to Ropin, and I still needed him to go and maintain 3 Whataburgers in San Angelo, 2 Burger Kings, a couple of banks, and some other things while I was gone for just 2 short days. But let me tell you something. When I got home, I didn't have a truck, a trailer, 2 riding lawnmowers. I didn't have my push mowers, weed eaters, blowers. I had nothing. It was gone. The hand was gone as well. 1 week later, they found my trailer and all the equipment at the pawn shop down the road. The same day, they found the truck from San Angelo all the way in Big Spring at the Rip Griffin truck stop. Anybody know where that's at? That's where the truck was found. There was a man that heard about it and came to me, and he, I don't know if he just wanted to, you know, maybe he meant well. I think he did. I think his heart was right, but this is what he said. He said, "You know, Corey, there's a time when God will do some things to get your attention." I said, "Do what?" He said, "You know, there's times when God... He possibly might have done this to kind of get your attention to look to Him." I said, "Well, if that's the case, then God is a thief, and He stole my equipment, and He caused it." Well, how many of you know that's wrong thinking, right? It's not wisdom to believe just any old thing. Wisdom is understanding exactly who you are in Christ. And let me tell you who you are in Christ. God has given you, if He's the Lord of your life, a name, the authority to use his name, the name of Jesus. Do you realize that the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee? Do you realize that at the name, just the name of Jesus, every knee one day is going to bow and every tongue will confess? And he says they're going to confess in one of three places: on the earth, in heaven, or in hell. So here's a suggestion that should give us all some wisdom today. You need to confess him here and not down there. Because that's the way of escaping a place called hell that a lot of preachers don't talk about. I don't know about you, but here we're talking about three wise men seeking the Lord Jesus. They wanted to find out. They were very wise in a lot of ways. But again, the very first thing that I want you to understand is they was not wise in and of themselves. The true Christmas story is that God took on human flesh so that we might save people from not having wisdom who get into sin. And I don't know about you, but man, God wants us to get away from all the junk that is pushing all of us down. And it's going to be wise to stay away from those kind of things. It's going to help your marriages. It's going to help your businesses. It's going to help your family life. You see, on I think it was on Sunday, I started kind of talking about, the pressures of Christmas holiday. And I mean, you want to talk about some stress. Some stress can come. I mean, in our family, we have a niece that just got her tonsils out. And so if you, do a few wrong things to her, she will kill you. She's certain, man, right? I mean, don't mess with me. There's families that's off and, they can't get here. We're waiting on, another part of Steve's family that's coming in the morning because he's a policeman and he has to work tonight in the Fort Worth area. I was watching my mom and Jamie and when the girls got here and, I'm watching all these guys and the preparation of getting things ready. I mean, even tonight, as soon as, I get done here and my wife is like, let's go. Well, man, we're going to go and we're going to have a meal together and then we're going to open some presents. Amen. I got my little boy excited. Amen. But how many of you know there can be some stress in people's families over not enough finances? Or how about this? How about that one family member? Don't look around right now. You stay. Keep your head straight. That one family member that's just like, I want to slap them upside the head. But you want to maintain peace, right? How many of you know there's some wisdom? There's some wisdom in keeping your mouth closed a lot of times. Here's something that's wise. The second thing that I was learning and just getting a little bit of revelation, even though this is such a simple message, but yet the revelation could be huge in someone's life tonight. That wise men and women seek Jesus as their king. Let me say that again. Let me say it a little bit better. Wise men and women seek Jesus as the king. Oh, you want you in rodeo? Ooh, doggy, ask my family. The God, the little God, can be team roping, can be bull riding. I mean, there's people that their God is their children, not their husband or wife. The children, that's all they give attention to. I mean, they're kings in their lives. How many of you know that we probably know people that money is a god to a lot of people, you see? Well, wise men and women here seek Jesus as their king because a lot of people seek after all these other things. But the one that has the name above all the names is the one we should seek. Say amen to that. I think it's time that we get our our priorities back in line and begin to seek the right things. Well, I don't know about you, but the right thing is seeking Jesus, the one that by his stripes you're healed. Come on. I mean, the one that calls you the head and not the tail. The one that says you are above your situation and not underneath it. The one that says you can do all things through Christ, which then gives you the strength that Nehemiah talked about. I mean, I'm talking about God has given us the keys to the kingdom. He's again, as we've already discussed, given us the authority to use his name. That's why Colossians says, do everything in the name of Jesus. There's times when I'm driving. Kind of one time I remember driving from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I have a long living quarter trailer. I mean, it was 40 plus feet with horses loaded. I had my wife and Just London as a baby in that. And I'll never forget God as I was driving. It was almost dark, headed to Level Land where we lived at the time. And the Lord just somehow got my attention and said, you need to pray for safety. Pray for safety. I said, okay, well, Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus. And as soon as I said that, I come over a hill, and an 18-wheeler truck was trying to turn around in the road. Now, think about this. I have a new wife, basically, a brand-new baby girl, a trailer that those trailers cost $60,000, $70,000 back then. I had horses that all very expensive roping horses cost $25,000 each. Four of them is in that trailer. Oh, they're a lot more expensive now, y'all. Oh, as soon as London got a little bit older, she got into barrel racing. You want to talk about expensive horses? I'm trying to get her to rope. But coming over and then seeing an 18, remember that, Jamie? And I said, I plead the blood of Jesus, and somehow we didn't crash into that thing. Oh, there's story after story after story that I can talk to you about how God miraculously saved us. It wasn't just last year, me professional rodeoing and steer roping, that I was in Nebraska and laid, you know, my event is where you rope the horns of a steer. It was the very one of two events in rodeo that started rodeo called steer roping. It's an event where you rope a cow in the pasture where you don't have a pen to capture them in to doctor them. So you've got to rope them out there in the pasture somehow. And you've got to lay them down so that you can doctor them, try to figure out what's wrong with them or whatever. And I'm in Nebraska, and I was running, and I was at the end of about 70 guys, and the ground was really dug up of those horses just planting and going to the left to knock those steers down. You know, and I've got to get off, and I've got to tie their feet. Tie them either left-handed or tie them right-handed, depending on which way they lay down. And all I remember is coming to this steer and roping him, and I still had the rope in my hand. The steer was heading off, and my horse started going to the left, and his feet got tangled, and he went down. And I still remember to this day, this is what I remember thinking, oh, no, what's fixing to happen? Man, I hit. I watched the video later. It was terrible. I mean, it spooked everybody. It ruined the whole, you know, little rodeo, because they had to take me. They had an airplane and a helicopter ready to transport me because they knew that my brain was swelling or that it was bleeding. Let me tell you, though, because of the one that we're celebrating tomorrow and what he did for me, is I began to have people pray. Matter of fact, I had some of those ropers and their wives that's what we do is we travel through the summer and I minister to them. And here the preacher's the one that they're having to pray over. I mean, they were laying hands on me. That's Mark chapter 16, y'all. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, don't get me wrong, because there were some way off that counted me out. Matter of fact, they thought I was dead. My wife, who is at home, gets a call 20 minutes after it saying, hey, I heard that Corey just was killed in the arena in Nebraska. And she said, oh, really? She said, I'm thinking that's not true because my sister just told me that she's with him headed to the hospital. You know, so they're already trying to kill me. I just want everybody to know I'm alive. Are you? Say it louder, y'all. I mean, I'm here. Well, see, the point is had it not been for people praying for me in the name of Jesus, our belief in the Word of God, not that this is a book of a bunch of fictional stuff. No, this is the truth of the Word of God. I'm telling you, I was roping within 1 week of that accident, and they had already killed me. Come on, y'all. You see, the one that would give us the wisdom, the wise things of this world, is that I didn't count myself out. I didn't say, you know what? Well, now I'm in fear. Because what if it happens again? You know what I had to do, especially when I got... Now, I missed a week's rodeo. It cost me making the national finals. I ended up about 18th in the world that year. The top 15 is what goes to the national finals rodeo. I had to miss a lot of good ones. Deadwood, South Dakota, and Rapid City, South Dakota. I mean, I missed some of them, but I came back at Dodge City, Kansas. And I still wasn't the same, but one thing that kept coming to my mind was fear. What if it happens again? You know what I decided to do? I decided to use the wisdom, just like these three wise men, the wise people that are seeking after Jesus. I decided to not believe what the devil was trying to bring to my mind. I decided to cast out every negative thought that is not in, you know, in line with this Word of God. And I decided to take it captive. And I started putting things in my mind like, you know, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't have a spirit of fear. No, I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I had to say it over and over. I do not have a spirit of fear. And I know, and it just kept coming. And I tell you what, I started winning more after Dodge City, then I almost won at the first of the year. I just didn't have enough time, you see. You see, there's something about having wisdom. Here's the last thing, and then I'll close. Because there's something about understanding why these wise men were headed, you know, to the east looking for this star, knowing who was under that star. Third thing I wrote down is that wise men seek Jesus, King Jesus, in spite of disappointments. Did you hear me? Wise men and women, they seek King Jesus, just like these three wise men was going. They were seeking him, man. I want to know about this Savior in spite of maybe some disappointments. Because sometimes problems, they're not solved quickly. Now, don't get me wrong, because we have now faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But sometimes, after receiving Jesus, there's some problems. I mean, I never forget talking about, someone asked me a question about tithing. I said, well, let me teach it to you. I mean, it's one thing I understand is giving, because I'm a giver. And so this person began to tithe. And he said, well, I'm going to try it. And I knew right there was going to be some tough times for him, because they were just going to try it. You see, there's something about trying to live by God's ways of doing things, the principles of sowing and reaping or whatever. There's another thing about being it. You can either try something or you can be it. It's kind of like a woman that's pregnant. You either are or you're not. You cannot be halfway pregnant, y'all. And sure enough, he said, well, I've tried this stuff for 6 months. And it doesn't work. I said, come on, man, what are you talking about? I said, how old are you? He said, well, I'm 60. I said, so you're telling me that for 59 and a half years you tried it another way and you only gave God's way only 6 months? You see, sometimes there are disappointments in seeking after our King. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll just stay with it, oh man, it'll reap some benefits like you've never seen. You see, that is being wise. I think the wisest thing tonight would be for someone to give their life to Him that has never given their lives to Him. You see, I want wisdom. Isn't it just a quick hour service? What if someone gave their lives to Jesus and canceled their reservations to hell? Was that a clock? Was that the hour? That was perfect. I'm done almost. Did y'all hear that clock? Is it 7? Oh, I got about 30 seconds then. I better go fast. Here's the question. Are you born again? If you stood before God, do you know what He'll say? And every single one of us individually will stand before God. Maybe you're watching somewhere at home or in different parts of the country. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because see, that is who we seek tonight. Would you agree with that? So I want to give someone an opportunity that maybe doesn't know what would happen to them if they died. Here's what the Bible says, not what some preacher says. Here's what the Bible says. There's only one way to the Father. This is John chapter 14. Jesus says, I'm the way. You notice it didn't say the church or the denomination is the way. Did you notice it didn't say that being a good person is the good way to get to heaven? No, it says there's only one way, one truth, and one life. One way to get to the Father in heaven is by Jesus. And Jesus is the one that said that. You see, that's the one we celebrate tomorrow. His birth, and then in a couple of months later, we celebrate His resurrection from the dead. So if you're standing in front of God Almighty, which the Bible says all of us will do one day individually, what will He say to you? In 1979, May the 10th, is when I gave my life to Him in Otis Baptist Church, Otis, New Mexico. So when I stand before God, Jesus is going to be standing beside the Father. He's going to have this book. And Jesus is going to say, Father, Corey Ross, his name was recorded right here. He gave his life to me 1979, May the 10th. You know what the Father's going to say to me? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. You see, that's what I want Him to say to everybody. That's why Jesus died for us, y'all. Is that someone could say, Jesus, be my Lord, just like the three wise men did. They were seeking after Him, and God gave them a light. He said, there's the light. It's from that star, but the true light is right there in that manger. Serve Him for the rest of your life. So again, if you stand before God, which means you have to leave this earth and die of this flesh, What's God going to say to you? If you don't want to have anything to do with God, you have that right. You have a will. You can say, nope, I want to have nothing to do with this God stuff. Don't believe any of it. And God gave you the will to say yes or no to Him. I'm asking you. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I beg you, don't choose that part. No, choose me, Jesus. Please, please. Because if you choose, when you die, God has to say, because He's not a man that He can lie, He has to say, depart from me. And that's why there's a place called hell. It was not created for us. It was created for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven. But then, you know the story, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Now you have to make a choice to receive Him here, to go to a place called heaven. But here's the greatest thing, and then we'll pray. The greatest thing is you don't have to wait till there to have heaven. You can have it here. You're the Prince of Peace. He's in heaven, but we don't need it there. It's there. We need it here. I need the peace of God here. I need joy. I mean, just turn on the news. We need joy, y'all. The joy of the Lord. You don't need it in heaven. We need it here. Amen? So if you've thought about that and pondered that question, what would happen to you if you left this earth? If you don't know, I want you to pray a prayer with me. I want you to give your life to Jesus right now. If you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to tonight. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. And all the believers in here, you're going to pray it with me. And if there's anybody in here or watching that has never given their life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer, and all of us will just pray it with you. Amen? We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're at or watching to pray this prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10:9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen? So let's pray it. You ready? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, if you're here tonight, such a habit to say morning, isn't it? If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you die, ask Jesus to come into your life right now. You ready? And we'll all pray it again. Out of your mouth, say this. We're going to do it out loud. We're not ashamed. We're going to say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you've been raised from the dead, and you're seated by the right hand of the Father. You are praying for me, but you're my Lord now. You're my Savior. You're my friend, and I need you in my life. And I want to go to heaven and not hell. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in the name of Jesus. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm telling you, Jesus came into your life, and the Bible says angels are rejoicing in heaven. What a wonderful day. But here's what I want you to do. The Bible says, if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father. In other words, don't ever, ever, ever be ashamed that Jesus is now your Lord. Because we're all brothers and sisters now. We're all in the family of God. So don't be ashamed. So here's what I want you to do. With no one looking around, if Jesus just became your Lord and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you said it tonight and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up. All you're saying is, God, I meant that prayer. Thank you for being my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do. Because again, don't be ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed to die for you and I. You ready? If you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up and put it right back down. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you, thank you. See it all. Appreciate it. Praise God. So many. Thank you. There were so many, y'all, that we probably won't be able to see all of them. But here's what I want to do. Everybody just look at me just for a second. I bet there were 20 hands that was raised. And listen to me. What we like to do is we like to give you a Bible. But obviously, sometimes we can't see your hand. I know there's some over here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to lay some Bibles on a chair. Just put it right in the middle. Just put some Bible. If you just raise your hand, I want you to grab a Bible when you leave. Amen? And that's just a gift to let you know that it's that Bible that now is your manual to live. Find a good Bible-believing church where you live. If you live around here, you ought to come here. It's a good church. Amen? But if this is not a church for you, find a good one wherever you live that you can plant in. Amen? Did you have a good time? Amen. Well, it was an honor to be able to have our first service ever. As y'all know, we're believing for a lot of great things. And a lot of times, we're not going to take up an offering or pass it or anything like that. At this church, you'll notice I don't even take a salary, but we teach people how to give and get into that system. And so a lot of people come to me all the time, how do we give? How do we give to the kids' church? If anybody wants to give and you just want to bless this service tonight, you want to just maybe bless someone, then there's some offering buckets up here. Just give. And I always say it like this, even on the road, it freaks out everybody. When people give, there might be some cash in these buckets. If you need some help and you're having a hard time, you come to me and I'll bless you with some of that cash. Amen? You'll probably never hear a preacher ever say that. But we want you to know it's an honor to have you minister or get ministered to and be a part of this service. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet? I pray the blessing on you that tomorrow, man, our thoughts, as soon as you wake up, are on, thank you, Jesus, for being born today. And then all the rest that comes with it, like that pecan pie that I'm going to eat here in a minute. And I don't know if I got any presents, did I, Mama? One. It doesn't matter. You know what matters is how great Jesus is. Amen? Thank you so much for being a part of this service. Love you very much. Hope to see you Sunday sometime. Amen? You family that are here, I pray traveling mercies as you go back to your homes. And remember, Jesus does not stay here. The Bible says he never leaves you or forsakes you. He gets to go with you right now. Amen? So, Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. As we go home and just continue to spend time with our family, we want to be wise. You are our Lord. We seek after you, as Matthew says, your kingdom and your righteousness. We seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the rest of it will come to us. We love you. Father, all the ones that gave their lives to you, what an honor that they can meet a true Savior. We love you in Jesus' name. Say amen if you agree. You're dismissed with a big old round of applause. Love you.